now with the latest from the world of technology. This is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available.
Tech Guide.
The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further.
Tech Guide.
I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand in hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot-selling device.
Tech Guide.
You know, we want them to be light. We want them to be portable. And this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Tech Guide Podcast. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. My name is Stephen Fenwick and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. This is episode 45 and this week we'll be focusing on the future of television and the technology behind it, including 4K, otherwise known as ultra high definition. We'll kick it off with Sony and its investment in 4K from lens to lounge room. You're going to hear me saying that a lot tonight. I attended a recent 4K conference run by Sony in Los Angeles recently and got a chance to look behind the scenes and how Sony has invested in the technology along the whole process. After that, we'll check in with LG, who has named actor Ewan McGregor as the face of its new smart TV range, which this year will include even more ultra-high definition TVs and an impressive curved OLED TV as well. In our reviews, I'll give you my thoughts on the Samsung Galaxy S4. Also on the show, we'll talk about the App Store approaching 50 billion downloads. And we'll bring it home with your questions on the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's brought to you by our proud sponsors, Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to talk about right here on Tech Guide. And we'll kick it off with Sony and their investment in 4K. Now, 4K is short for 4,000. That's the number of pixels across the screen for this new ultra-high definition format. For those who haven't heard of it before, you're going to hear a lot more about it this year. 4K is a new type of TV that's already in the market. There's TVs out by Sony who call it 4K. There's also LG and Samsung TVs. Their versions are called ultra-high definition. Basically, they're the same thing. And they have four times the resolution of full HD TV. So if you think you're seeing a clear picture now, wait till you have a look at 4K. Well, in fact, I'd bet that you've probably already seen 4K. If you've ever been to a digital cinema, a digital projector, most of them made by Sony, as a matter of fact, that file, that film you're viewing is actually 4K. So imagine the clarity and color and audio quality that that offers in your own home with a 4K television. Now, Sony, I was very lucky enough, full disclosure, I was flown by Sony to LA to attend this conference, this conference about 4K and how Sony has got skin in the game, let's say, from lens to lounge room. They make the cameras, post-production facilities, remastering the actual discs of the films themselves, the content themselves, and at the end of the line, the TVs that you view them on. Now, it was a really interesting week. We spent a lot of time at Sony Studios in Culver City, which is used to be the MGM Studios many years ago, and where the studio is actually where they film some of Hollywood's greatest movies, including The Wizard of Oz and Singing in the Rain. So that's two pretty big movies that were filmed on that lot. It was very interesting to be able to walk around the lot and see the many facilities, the many stages that are not only used for filming movies, big large productions, but also for TV shows like Jeopardy, for example. A popular American game show is filmed at the Sony Studios as well. So right from the get-go, Sony are involved with 4K. Right from the lens stage, let's talk about the camera. Sony have just produced a new F65 4K digital motion picture camera that allows filmmakers to capture their films in 4K. It has the same resolution as a 35mm shooting on 35mm film. perhaps even more, depending on the frame rate. But it certainly produces some stunning results, as we've already seen in the cinemas. Two huge productions that actually, or two films that are currently, one currently in cinemas at the moment is Oblivion, starring Tom Cruise and Morgan Freeman. That film was actually shot using Sony's F65 4K camera. For those of you who've seen it, you'll agree it was pretty good-looking movie. For those who haven't, I'd recommend getting along. It's actually not a bad film. Another upcoming film shot with Sony's 4K cameras is After Earth. This is a huge summer blockbuster that's on Sony Picture, of course, starring Will Smith and his son Jaden Smith, which was, again, shot with the F65 4K digital camera and offers amazing shots. Exterior shots all have that great wide cinemascope look and feel, a real grandeur to the shots captured by the F65. And, of course, there's no film in the camera. They use large memory cards, some with capacities up to 1 terabyte, which offers about an hour of film. If they want to film for an hour, that'll take up a terabyte of memory. But moving on to, it doesn't all end once the camera stops rolling. What happens after that is the start of post-production. And at the Sony Studios, there's a facility there called Colorworks, which offers color grading and also mastering in 4K. So not only is it available for Sony films, but also any other studio who wants to come in and master their films, get the color right, they can do that at Colorworks. It's also used to restore films. So if you've got an older film you want looking brand new again, you may even want to convert an original classic film to 4K, you can do so at Colorworks using the original film negative. So no matter how old the film is, if they can get that original negative, if that original negative is in good shape, well, even if it isn't, they can make it, they can improve it and remaster it and bring it up to quality. Take out all of the damage in the film. A lot of restorations are done that way. So it is possible, whether a film is shot originally in 4K or even on film, for 4K to be the end result. And you're going to see a lot of blockbuster films being remastered in 4K. Let's move to the cinema now. Cinema is where Sony's digital projection happens. They've got a lot of digital projectors. Globally, there's about 20,000 4K cinemas, and 75% of these are installed with a Sony 4K projector. So already, we haven't even reached the home stage. Sony's investment in 4K is pretty big. Remastering in 4K is another thing that we should talk about, because there's a lot of films that the one problem with 4K is that it produces quite a large file, and fitting that file on a single disc at this stage, not possible. But what's happening is the Blu-ray Disc Association have set up a task force made up of studios, film producers, people in the industry to come up with a codec, a way of fitting a native 4K file on a disc. In the meantime, we're going to be happy with remastering in 4K, upscaling in 4K. So, for example, if you wanted to watch a Blu-ray movie on a Sony 4K TV or any ultra-high definition TV, there are upscaling technologies built in to upscale that film to make it look like it is in 4K. But Sony's going to release a range of Blu-ray movies that have been remastered in 4K, which means that Sony have taken the trouble to build a database of information to give that film instructions, that once it is played in a Sony product, it knows exactly what it needs to do to upscale the right way to look as best as it possibly can in 4K. At the end of the line, of course, are the Sony 4K televisions. Now, we've already seen the 84-inch 4K TV, which was released at IFA in Berlin in August last year, hit the market here in Australia in November, and it's priced at $24,000, but a truly stunning, stunning picture. I saw an excellent side-by-side, the 84-inch Sony next to a competitor's 84-inch, I won't say which, but there was a dramatic demonstration of the clarity of the screen. There was a picture of a newspaper, just two pages of a newspaper on one screen. It was the competitor screen. It was a little bit hard to read, the small type. Yet on the Sony screen, even the small type was sharp and easy to read a couple of meters away from the screen. Sony's technology includes a new tri-luminous display, which manages to incorporate more color, increase the color gamut. The color gamut is the amount of color your eyes can naturally pick up. TVs are getting better and better in capturing more of that color gamut to represent more of the colors we see in real life. And Sony's tri-luminous displays have actually expanded that color gamut quite dramatically. So hence the why these 4K films are looking even better. But we thought we'd leave it to the experts to talk about. We chatted to Paul Colley, the head of technology at Sony Australia, who gave us his run on 4K and what we can expect to see this year.
Paul, thanks for joining us. The one thing we're going to hear a lot about this year is 4K. And from after having seen everything in LA last week at that special conference there, it seems that Sony has made an investment for all across the board, from lens to lounge room.
That's right. The beautiful thing about 4K is the amount of detail. It's the first time that we've really been able to bring film-like quality directly to the TV screen. So, you know, what people will be surprised at is what they, you know, they're not really aware of what it is that they can't see at the moment. Mm-hmm. Once you see 4K, as you would have experienced last week, mm-hmm. the amount of detail that we've been missing out on is quite substantial.
But in terms of, and Sony have obviously got, they've got a lot of skin in the game, let's just say, from the production. So they even make the cameras and the production through to the content and the TV. Is it fair to say that you guys want to own the 4K space from start to finish?
Absolutely. And you know, nobody has the level of expertise and knowledge about 4K and how to deliver it to the screen in its best possible way. You know, we understand the production from the cameras. We, you know, most of the cameras that are the Hollywood films that are filmed on our cameras, and that expertise and the people who film that who make those cameras are working with our TV division, and they're taking the expertise from the film and how they turn that into a 4K movie, and using that same data to then re-render that information on the screen. So the synergies that we have, from, as you said, lens all the way through to the lounge room where we watch the movies at home, is second to none.
And in terms of the it's going to take some education for the consumer. The consumer's just only just gotten used to full HD and what that's all about. And obviously, being new technology, 4K is not going to be the cheapest thing to buy. So what challenges do you think that the not only Sony but the other manufacturers who are going after Ultra HD, which is the same as 4K, what sort of challenges are we facing in the market? Is this something that Australians are ready to adopt, do you think?
Yeah, look, Australians are always early adopters of technology that they find is substantially changes things. And with 4K, when people see it, it doesn't need explanation. It really is, you know, the eyes tell the story. You know, when we transitioned from standard definition to high definition, there was a lot of people who struggled to see the differences. But the changes from high definition to 4K, everybody can see the difference. Mm-hmm. We're talking, you know, from standard definition to full HD, we went from 500,000 pixels to 2 million pixels on the screen. Now we're going from 2 million pixels to 8 million pixels. So the difference is really quite substantial.
And you've already got a 4K TV in the market, an 84-inch that, let's face it, it's not cheap. It's a $24,000 television. But the good news is that there are some more affordable models coming out this year. Pricing hasn't been revealed just yet, but that kind of puts it in the ballpark of your average consumer now, doesn't it?
That's right. You know, just like we saw with full HD, the first TVs were very expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll see 4K TVs become more mainstream over the next few years and much more affordable.
Okay. And in terms of, obviously, you guys have got a whole studio behind you as well. So the whole content part of it's kind of the old chicken and egg story now. I know the 4K's got upscaling, which we'll talk about in a moment, but getting the content to customers is another challenge. How's Sony addressing that?
There's a few ways. I mean, we are now archiving movies in 4K so that they're future-proof. There's more than 100 movies already archived in 4K. And, you know, as you've rightly pointed out, the delivery to the screen is still evolving. The standards for that are still evolving, but it's moving rapidly. But also, the other thing that's really important about 4K is to understand that everything looks better on a 4K screen, not just 4K content. Mm-hmm. So whether it be a DVD that you're playing or a Blu-ray movie that you're playing or even web content that you're streaming from a movie streaming service, it will all look much better on a 4K TV. And that's thanks to what you pointed out earlier, is the upscaling technology.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that now then. So a lot of people are thinking, well, I don't have any 4K movies or anything like that, but a lot of people aren't aware, I suppose, that they've been to a digital cinema, they've actually watched a 4K movie. Bringing that to the home, though, the upscaling technology is quite impressive to actually achieve that kind of quality in the home from a full HD source.
Correct, and that's one of the areas that Sony has a real advantage. We actually own studios that, like Colourworks, where they actually convert a movie from 4K down to 2K, or 2K being a Blu-ray disc. So from 4K to a Blu-ray disc. And when we do that, we analyse what sort of data is lost, what sort of image is lost when it's transcoded down to a 2K image. And then what they do then is they share that information with the TV group. And the TV group build a database of that information and what's lost. And then they put that into our processor on our TV, our X-Reality processor. So our TVs, when they upscale from 2K to 4K, are referencing exactly the information that was lost from the studio when it went to 2K. So no one can upscale better than what Sony can.
Sure. Let's talk technology now. The tri-luminous display on the 4K is something that's unique to Sony. And it's not just all about driving more pixels on the screen. It's also about the quality of those pixels, isn't it? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so tri-luminous is about bringing getting closer to the amount of colour that we can see with our eyes. So, you know, all of us are limited to the amount of colour that we can see. And up until now, what TVs have been able to reproduce is a small subset of what our eyes can actually see. But the cinema screen, so when they're producing movies in Hollywood, they can capture more colour. And the digital cinemas around the world now can also display more colour onto the screen. So the challenge is to make sure that our TVs can display the same sort of colour that they're displaying in the cinema. So you get a much more accurate representation of what the director had in mind.
And that was Paul Colley, and he was actually with us on the trip to LA and had a lot of information to give us on the trip from start to finish, especially on the TV side, the audio side. Now, on the remastering in 4K, we got a chance to catch up with Jeremy Glasson from Sony Pictures, who told us a little bit about how the whole remastering process is going to work. Here's what he had to say.
Well, Jeremy, thanks for your time. We're here talking 4K, and there's 4K TVs, mm-hmm. There's 4K films being made,
yep.
But the missing piece is how do we get that content? Now, tell us a little bit about mastered in 4K and what that means for the home viewer.
Sure. Well, a mastered in 4K Blu-ray is pretty much that content solution for the new 4K TVs around the launch timing of these TVs. So what we've done from a Sony Pictures perspective is we've gone back with 10 of our titles, and we've really either remastered them or really optimized them and created this pristine 4K source. And that's through our asset management team at Sony Pictures. So they have this pristine source, and from that we're able to create a 1080p master and place that on a Blu-ray. And it's a digital-to-digital transfer, so you're not having the tape in there, no loss of resolution. It's really this great 1080p picture from this pristine source. Mm-hmm. And of course, the better, you know, the better quality your source is, the better your output's going to be ultimately. So on these new 4K TVs, you basically have this optimized picture on this Blu-ray. And also, this Blu-ray has no added value. The bit rate is actually very high. So you're getting this optimized picture on your 4K TV, and when it's upscaled, you get this near 4K experience.
You mentioned the pristine sources. So those sources would be being shot in 4K?
It really depends.
And also on film, I suppose. So you
right.
can go and scan a film, yes. an older film, into 4K. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, there are a few ways in which to get that 4K picture. One is film, because film has a very, very high resolution if you were to compare it to digital. Basically, if you go back and scan a film negative, you're going to get this very high resolution. Like our recent release of Lawrence of Arabia on Blu-ray, they actually scanned that because it was a 70 millimeter film. They scanned that at 8K, and it could actually, that's what really it needed in order to capture all that detail. Then they down-res it to 4K in order to do all the work.
Mm-hmm.
So film scanning is one of the options. Another option is obviously taking the digital photography, if it was shot in 4K originally and finished in 4K, that's your source right there. Mm-hmm. Or if something was shot in 4K but it wasn't finished in 4K previously, we can go back and finish it in 4K and create that picture.
And some films that are upcoming, some major summer releases, I think, namely After Earth, starring Will Smith and his son Jaden Smith. Yep. That's being shot entirely in 4K, isn't it?
As I understand it, yes.
Okay, so that wouldn't be a natural mastered in 4K release once it hits home entertainment title.
Yeah, so when the Blu-ray comes out, that picture will be derived from that 4K source, and you'll get this great optimized picture. And it'll also look, I mean, amazing on your regular HD TV as well, but it's really the 4K TVs where you'll see that.
And these mastered in 4K discs, they obviously serve a few purposes. If you've got a 4K TV, you know you've got some content. If you haven't got a 4K TV, it's good to know there is content.
Sure. And also, if you don't have a 4K TV, they're just the optimized picture. And if a consumer doesn't really care about special features, or they just want this optimal experience even for their 1080p TV, they're available.
Okay. Thanks for your time.
Sure.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, still on the subject of TVs, we're going to move along now to LG. Now, LG have also released some ultra-high definition product. They had their first back in November, their $17,000 84-inch ultra-high definition TV, which has been quite popular. It's, again, four times the resolution of full HD. But this year, LG have got even more plans, more TVs planned on the ultra-high definition range. And like Sony, they also have a 65-inch and a 55-inch models on the roadmap. Should be out around August. Pricing's around the $9,000 mark for 65, and about the $7,000 mark for the 55-inch. But that wasn't the star of the show. They had an amazing launch at this mansion in Darling Point. It would have been a $40 million mansion overlooking Sydney Harbour. And a special guest, of course, was Ewan McGregor, the Hollywood actor, star of the Star Wars prequels and many other films that I'm sure you've all seen, including the Impossible recent film starring our own Naomi Watts about the tsunami in Southeast Asia. He was also starred in Angels and Demons, Black Hawk Down, and also will star in two LG commercials, and also as well as in the LG print campaign. But the star of the event, apart from Mr. McGregor himself, who I got a chance to meet, I was very thrilled to meet Mr. McGregor. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. He played Obi-Wan Kenobi in the prequels. But back onto the TVs. The other star of the show was the LG curved OLED TV. Now, for those who don't know, OLED is short for Organic Light Emitting Diode. We know what LED is. It needs a backlight. Organic light-emitting diode doesn't need a backlight. It's a material that provides its own backlight when a charge is passed through it. Result is no backlight, very, very thin television. The curved OLED that LG had on display was as thick as your car keys, 4.3 millimeters thick. Now, the curve adds to the experience. It allows the viewer to be immersed in the picture because the edges of the screen are equidistant to the center of the screen. So if you're sitting in the middle, in the sweet spot, even if you're sitting off to the side, the viewing angle is improved because that subtle 15-degree arc allows you to see a lot more of the TV even at an angle. It's especially the picture quality was stunning. Deep blacks, very sharp and accurate colors are really something that if you do get a chance to see it. Once they come out into stores, of course, we know it's going to be the second half of 2013. Don't know a release date or pricing yet, although there was talk that the curved OLED, you won't get much change from $15,000. It is a truly spectacular TV. OLED is a format you're going to see from Samsung and other manufacturers, including Sony, later in the year, as well as Panasonic. They're all going to give you OLED. Problem is, it's still very expensive, still very hard to produce in mass quantities until, and like every other new technology, do you remember plasma TVs being $30,000 back in 2000? Like everything else, it does take some production experience, and once this production gets running and is perfected, then those costs come down once more people actually buy the TVs, and then the economies of scale kick into place and we get a cheaper television. But it is well worth checking out when it does get in the stores, but keep an eye out for Ewan McGregor, Spruce spruiking the quality of these TVs. And I do respect the answer he gave, though, for being asked why did he choose to become the face of LG's smart TV campaign. The answer he gave was quite a good one. He said he makes movies for a living, and they spend a lot of time making these movies look good. Lighting, costumes, set design. They take a lot of trouble making these films look as best as they possibly can. And he said, well, if the end result can look as good as that, he said, pointing to the ultra-high definition and the curved OLED, then it's going to be a pretty good experience in the home. I respected that answer. I thought it was a pretty good one. And look, yeah, it is good to see that he has got some involvement there, but he didn't come across as a total sellout, is what I'm trying to say. He really sort of believes that experience in the home should be just as good as the one you have in the cinema. We got a chance to also speak to Lambro Skropidis, who's the general manager for marketing at LG. And we asked him about this new campaign starring Ewan McGregor.
Well, Lambro, thanks for joining me. We're here at the LG Smart TV launch in a luxurious home in Darling Point with a very special guest, which we'll talk about in a moment.
Sure.
But LG Smart TVs in 2013, plenty to look forward to.
Yeah, great range for this year, not just smart TVs, but also, as we just showed, ultra-high definition TVs coming out, more of those. We've given people a taste for things to come as well with OLED, hopefully in the not-too-distant future.
You mentioned in your presentation that you want to take a leadership position in TVs,
sure.
And you're doing that through several ways, innovation, design, and picture size too. As Australians, we like bigger TVs now, don't we?
We do. I think we mentioned a little earlier that now 46-inch or above size TVs are growing at a very rapid rate. They're becoming very much the norm. So I think it's the love of film that Australians have, and the opportunity to replicate that cinema experience in home is leading to bigger TVs, better quality TVs, and we're happy to be ushering that in.
Speaking of quality, we mentioned ultra-high definition,
yep.
OLED. I saw the TVs here. They look breathtaking.
Sure.
How are Australians going to embrace that, and when will they see these in the market?
Yeah, look, the ultra-high definition launched not too long ago, but it was an 84-inch and at a fairly premium price tag. From a size perspective, it wasn't for everybody, and certainly it came with a large price tag. So what we've done now is we're launching a 65-inch and a 55-inch, hopefully in round about August. They will bring the price down considerably, so that will make people now, just open it up to a whole larger chunk of the Australian population.
And the OLED TV, the curved OLED, which we saw at CES this year.
That's right.
That really needs to be seen to be believed. Now, that's no release date yet for that?
Not yet. It's just announced in Korea, our headquarters. They're taking pre-orders there. And we're essentially doing our best to rush it as quickly as we can. We're hoping to bring it out this year.
Okay. Now, let's talk about the special guest, Ewan McGregor.
Sure.
Big A-lister that you've enlisted for the LG campaign. He's going to be quite a visible person in your marketing. Tell
Absolutely.
Us why you came up, why you chose Ewan for the campaign.
Yeah, look, we've long tried to position our brand as the best technology in the market, to try to own the concept of cinema in your home. So it was fitting to align ourselves with a cinema star as an ambassador. He's at the leading edge of his industry. He's a guy that likes to take risks and do things that are innovative. So perfect fit for our brand. He's a premium, stylish, smart guy, all the things that we want our brand to be as well. And it's a chance to be quite honest to attract people to what we're doing. You know, mm-hmm. People are interested in what he's up to. So hopefully the connection there will work well for us.
Okay. And you mentioned too you're shooting a couple of commercials with him here at a secret location. You didn't tell where, but
literally tomorrow we're filming our commercials. One for ultra high definition, one for OLED, and we'll put those in the can. And when they're ready to roll, we'll put them out there.
Okay.
And and another beautiful. Premium environment that'll mm-hmm. Fit the positioning we're taking for the brand.
Yeah, obviously that you mentioned the pillars of design and connectivity and the whole experience.
Yes.
That's really, you're really trying to tell the story to the customer now, aren't you? I saw one interesting stat that one in four people didn't realise that they had a smart TV.
Right, yeah.
So it's kind of an educational thing too, isn't it, for LG?
Sure. I think different people have different things that they're excited about when they first go to buy a TV. And we're hoping to try to take a broader message to them to really understand everything that these new modern TVs are capable of, because the minute we do actually go through and explain the ways that you can use this TV above and beyond just using it as a way to watch television, a way to surf the net, a way to communicate with your family, this new LG Cloud that we're introducing today, it will mean you could be sitting there in front of the Eiffel Tower, take a photo of yourself on your smartphone, upload it to the cloud, and literally pump that photo to your family's television, minutes later. That's a way that people haven't used their TVs before. Absolutely. So that's exciting stuff. And when people hear the story, they're rushing and to discover what smart TVs are all about.
No worries. Well, we'll look forward to seeing the products in the market. Thanks for your time, Lambro.
Thanks for your support today.
Well, Tech Guide is proudly sponsored by Netgear. Do you ever want to experience the fastest Wi-Fi ever in your home? Well, now you can. You can go faster and further with Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi gear. You can supercharge your home wireless network with the Netgear's wireless AC products, which deliver next generation gigabit Wi-Fi, which is up to 3 times faster than existing Wi-Fi products. NBN ready and great for streaming HD video, Netgear's family of 802.11ac products provide increased Wi-Fi coverage, which means you can now use your mobile devices such as tablets and smartphones in every corner of your home. It's also compatible with the new Galaxy S4, which we'll talk about in a moment, and the HTC One, which are now both 802.11ac compatible. So you can enjoy faster speeds on Wi-Fi in your home using those products combined with the Netgear router. The Netgear Genie app has had over 2 million downloads, and it makes installation easy and lets you view and play all of your digital photos, movies, and music on your smartphone, tablet, PC, or smart TV. If you want to find out more, head over to netgear.com.au/fastest Wi-Fi.
Tech Guide now. A Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennick.
Our review this week is something I promised you last week. We had a brief chat about the Samsung Galaxy S4, and since last week's podcast, I've managed to write and publish my Galaxy S4 smartphone review, which has had a lot of hits. A lot of people have been reading about it, and there's been a lot of interest around this product, the Galaxy S4. Following the success of the Galaxy S3, that's really not a surprise. The Galaxy S4 is a definite improvement. It looks almost identical, I'll say, to the Galaxy S3, except for a larger screen. We've gone from 4.7 now to 5 inches, so it's 0.3 of an inch difference. Managed to keep that larger screen in the same form factor. One other change is a faster quad-core processor and an improved 13-megapixel camera. But it's the long, long list of features that are really going to get your attention with the Galaxy S4. The design, as I said, is pretty much the same as the Galaxy S3. Still has that plastic feel, although the S4 feels a lot thinner in your hand than the Galaxy S3. Still has that removable back cover, so you can get at the battery, you can insert the SIM card, and even a micro SD card. One of the only Android devices, in fact, one of the only smartphones around that still has that removable back panel, so you can actually get at the battery, replace the battery, even carry a spare battery if you're a real power user, so you can get inside the device unlike the other models in the market. But looking at the features, as I said, the list of features is long. There are things like AirView, gesture control, smart scroll, smart pause, and also some new features with the camera. Now, as I said in my review, these all look pretty good on paper. They look like they look pretty good, sound pretty good, but will you actually use them? I found that a lot of them were useful. They worked most of the time. A bit of a novelty. Some of them, I think, are pretty gimmicky. Not something you're going to use every day. It's just as easy to use your finger on your screen as it is to use your eyeball. Now, speaking of eyeball, one of the features is Smart Scroll. And what this does, it allows you, there's a sensor on the front of the Galaxy S4 to detect where your eyes are on the screen, whether you're actually looking at the screen for a start. Now, the Galaxy S3 had this feature as well with a Smart Stay, so it could detect when your eyes were on the screen, and it wouldn't dim out the screen. So what that allowed us to do. Now, they've taken that a step further, is that now it can detect where your eyes are. If you reach the bottom of the screen, it will scroll. Rather than you having to scroll up using your finger on the touch screen, it will scroll down further so you can read more. I found this worked some of the time. It bothered me a little bit that it scrolled up and down when I didn't want it to. It was just as easy to use my finger. You can turn this feature off if it does bother you. Smart pause, I should say, is another. This worked very well, I have to say. When watching videos, when you're watching the screen, it plays it. You take your eyes away and it pauses the video. Your eyes return to the screen. It resumes the video. So there's no need to stop, press pause every time something else takes your attention. So that was a pretty cool feature. AirView lets you preview emails and documents simply by hovering your finger above the display. Handy because you don't even have to open an email for you to read the contents of that email or open the app. So it saves you a little bit of time. This was first seen on the Galaxy Note 2, but you needed the S Pen to achieve that. There's also air gestures. Now, there are sensors and a camera at the front, so you can respond to gestures. So you can flick through photos simply by moving your arm side to side. You can even scroll up and down by moving your finger or your hand up and down the screen. You can even answer a call simply by waving your hand above the screen. This is handy in some cases. It's just as easy to pick up the device and scroll using your touch screen. As I said in my review, it's not like it's a TV where you need to walk over to the screen or offer that kind of convenience. Your finger is literally an inch away from the screen. It's not a huge effort to actually scroll up. But it's a great party trick and very handy if you do really want to use it. You don't want to touch the screen. You may have dirty fingers. You may have been cooking, for example. You want to scroll through photos or you're eating your lunch and you don't want to get your messy fingerprints on the screen. That's probably one benefit that I can see using that as well. Turning to the camera, the camera's had quite an improvement. The 13-megapixel camera has not only had a quality improvement, but also the addition of some features. One of those features is dual camera, so you can shoot simultaneously from the front and rear camera, so you can never be left out of your photo, so you can also be included. You're taking a group shot, you get your mugshot in as well. Sound and shot lets you record up to 9 seconds of audio with your photograph, and the quality of the S4 camera is very impressive. Great picture quality, good color representation, pretty natural kind of performance there. And speaking of performance, it is a very fast device, quad core 1.9 gigahertz processor. It's interesting to note, there is actually an 8-core processor available in some markets, but they've given it to the markets where their 3G models are available. So us here in Australia with the faster 4G model on the network, we've got the quad core processor, and I'll be honest, quad core is plenty. It's quite fast. It's everything happens in an instant, so I don't think you would notice much of a difference with the quad core, to the 8-core than the quad core that we have here. I did mention in our Netgear live read earlier that it was the 802.11ac standard now on the, it's compatible on the Galaxy S4. So if you do have the Netgear and the new Netgear router in your home, then you can have faster speeds on your network. Galaxy S4, great battery life too, lasts me easily a day, sometimes even a day and a half. And even when it warned me about having to connect my charger, I still even had a few hours after that. Galaxy S4, $899, or you can buy it on a plan. You can read my full review at techguide.com.au.
Now, a Tech Guide news update.
Right, very quickly, we're going to go through some news here. Apple is approaching the 50 billionth App Store download. That's an amazing stat when you consider that the App Store only opened in 2008. That's less than 5 years ago. They've gone to 50 billion. Now, the 40 billionth, funny enough, was only announced back in January. And in 2012 alone, there were 20 billion downloads. So in the last year and a half, we've had 40 billion downloads. It's incredible. So apps are literally flying. We're downloading apps by the thousands, by the billions. So what Apple has done, as usual, offered the 50 billionth download. The person who is lucky enough to click over that milestone will receive a $10,000 US App Store gift card. They're also going to give the next 50 people who download an app a $500 app gift card. Get downloading. Check out the story on Tech Guide where I reveal the top five paid apps and the top five free apps. There may be some surprises there. Check it out at techguide.com.au.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Now, there are a lot of people who have old stereo docks, the 30-pin connector dock, even a plain stereo system, and a lot of them may have invested in the iPhone 5 or the new iPad and the dock, which is the new smaller lightning dock connector, now no longer connects to that docking system. Another question I've been asked is, look, I want to make my system wireless system. The future is streaming. There's none of this connecting, docking your device or connecting it with a cable. The future is wireless for our music listening needs, whether it's headphones, speaker dock, in-ear headphones. We want to get rid of the cables. And a way to do that is with a couple of devices, one that I reviewed a little while ago and one that I reviewed this week. The one that I reviewed this week is called the Auris. That's A-U-R-I-S. It's a Bluetooth dongle that can turn your dock or stereo system into a wireless system. It's got a 30-pin dock connector. So, for example, you may have an older Bose dock. You can connect the Auris Bluetooth dongle to the dock. It then creates a Bluetooth connection to your iPhone 5 or any other Bluetooth-enabled device, and you can stream music wirelessly rather than having your phone physically connected to the dock. It's a very small unit, only measures 3.5 wide, 4.3 centimeters long, available in black or white. It's also got volume keys on the side, which can also be used to navigate the music. And it's also got an auxiliary stereo jack connection, so if you don't have a dock system, you can still connect using the included auxiliary cable. Say you've got a high-end stereo system or any other stereos with an auxiliary in connection, you can connect the Auris and turn that system into a wireless system using that cable. And the same result, you'll be able to stream your music wirelessly, either control it on your phone or control it using the device. Now, it uses the latest Bluetooth 4.0. It's got A2DP 1.2 and works within a range of 10 meters. Also on board, it's got APTX technology, which provides that AirPlay-like audio quality. A lot of people think that Bluetooth kind of takes the edge off the sound quality, but this new APTX technology combined with the A2DP 1.2 profile on Bluetooth means you're going to maintain your audio quality. Now, an older product that I wrote about that offers the same kind of result is the Tune to Air dock, but it takes it a step further. The Tune to Air dock is made by a company called Vizio, who specialize in in-car systems as well. So not only will the Tune to Air work in an iPod dock in your home, it can also turn your in-car audio kit from having to physically connect an iPhone or an iPad or an iPod to creating a wireless system so you can stream music within your car. Now, the Vizio system, the Tune to Air, is priced at $99 from MrMobile.net.au, but it does offer that in-car capability, so it is a little bit more expensive. The Auris system is $69.95 and available now. So if you're one of these people who wants to turn your system wireless, this is a way you can do it. And that's our show for this week. A little longer than normal, but plenty to talk about. Anything you've heard about actually on this episode, you can read at our website, techguide.com.au. And you can get in touch with us by emailing us here at info@techguide.com.au. Please send us your help desk questions, or you can submit it to our Tech Guide forums on the Tech Guide website. Big thank you to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. Well, that was Tech Guide episode 45. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to your company next week. So in the meantime, as we always say, stay safe and stay connected.